Previously on Talk to Dad.
The stars at night are big and bright.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
Yes.
The exciting thing about this is we have no idea what it means.
The numbers all have like personalities and they have relationships to each other and they go on dates and they play and they do things.
All of you are obviously insane.
I'm not saying it's aliens, but aliens.
It's totally aliens. Yeah.
Totally aliens.
Yeah.
Like anyone could even know that. Talk to Dad.
Hello and welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 205. I've got Henry and Will here with me.
Hello.
What up?
How's it going, boys?
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
How is your summer so far?
It's pretty good. I've been going back and forth between being like incredibly depressed about quarantine and being like, yeah, I totally got this.
I feel like it's a normal summer.
I feel that. I feel that.
I feel like it's a normal summer, but we don't go anywhere.
Yeah, except for we actually went somewhere this week.
Oh yeah.
We actually went somewhere kind of far away.
Somewhat.
We didn't leave the state, but you know, Texas is a pretty big state. Most people don't know that about Texas. It's pretty big.
I thought we were like just in Oklahoma.
No, we're talking about two different trips. First, mm-hmm. Since last time we did this podcast, we went to Central Texas to a place called the X Bar Ranch.
It was sort of central, but also kind of western. It was like near the border to Mexico, sort of.
Not too far from the border to Mexico. Mm-hmm. You know, not super close to the border to Mexico, but closer to that than we are right now, for sure. We drove about 5.5 hours to get there. And it was kind of in the middle of nowhere, place called the X Bar Ranch. We went with my brother and his wife and their daughter, who have also been quarantining. So, you know, hopefully it was a pretty safe thing to do. We drove a long ways away. We drove so far that it seemed like a totally different place. Like the scenery around there is totally different from here.
Yeah, it looks like what you'd imagine, or it looks like stereotypical Texas, like where everything's not quite a desert and there's still like plants and stuff, but it's all like super dry and just...
Yeah, felt like desert. Felt like...
Yeah, like...
I don't know, like cartoon Texas.
I guess I always forget about how like in every state, like there's little like... There's like pockets of like cities and towns and stuff, and like the rest is just fields and lands.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean when I say cartoon Texas?
Yeah.
Well, it's sort of like that, but with more dead bushes everywhere.
Yeah. Like it seems like in cartoons, there's always like cactuses and I don't know.
Yeah.
There were like
big
small
open
cactuses.
Fields and I don't know.
What's
stuff
like
that.
Stereotypical Texas.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
We took someone with us.
Oh, yeah.
We took Maisie with us. Mm-hmm. And that's the first time we've taken her on a long trip like that. Mm. How did she react to it?
When we went in the car, she was really, really nervous.
On the way there, she was kind of a nervous wreck.
Yeah.
She was kind of excited, though. Like, when I was packing up the car and I opened the door, like, she came out and jumped right in the car, which is good. She did get a little nervous. Not as bad as, like, some dogs we've had, like... When you guys were really little, we had a dog named Wojo.
Yeah.
And Wojo hated the car. And he used to like whine and whine when he was in the car.
Yeah, I remember that.
Maisie didn't do that, but she did like, you could tell she was like on guard the whole time. Like she didn't want to lay down. She just wanted to sit up straight, look around.
She kept on wanting to jump up to the like central console around like in between the front seats.
She wanted to like get on my lap. She wanted to drive the car, basically. Maisie wanted to drive the car. And we would
all
not
cars
want
to drive the car. I said all cars. All dogs want to drive the car.
That's something
I don't know about all dogs, but definitely our last two dogs.
Yeah.
That's something I've noticed is like if you're on the couch or like in a car or wherever, like dogs do not care about just like walking over you.
Yeah.
Or at least like Maisie doesn't.
Using you as like a chair.
Yeah. So we brought her down. So the X Bar Ranch was kind of in the middle of nowhere. It's like there are three towns about 15 minutes away from it. Or 20 minutes or 30 minutes away. One town called El Dorado, another town called Sonora, and another town called Ozona, which are all pretty small Texas cities. But it's kind of in the middle. Like if you made a triangle of those three cities, it'd be like right in the middle of it. So off by itself in the middle of this giant ranch. And there's like, Kind of a nice little area where they've got a lodge and then they've got some cabins. And we were in one of the cabins and my brother's family was in another cabin. And when we got there, like, the people who owned the place were not there. There was just the lodge door was open. We walked in. There was a little note to us on the counter and the keys so we could just go unlock our cabin. And so we didn't see anyone. So it was kind of the perfect vacation for pandemic.
Yeah.
Because we didn't really interact with anyone at the ranch at all. It was, we just had the whole ranch to ourselves. Like no one, no other guests were there.
Yeah. I think they're like,
that was kind of cool.
There were like two cleaners by the end. And I was like super surprised.
The last day we were there. Yeah. I didn't even see them. You saw them because I think you were, I don't know why you went over to lodge or
I had to
over
use
to
the bathroom.
Oh, that's right. We were trying to it pack was
like,
up.
But yeah, it was like seeing a deer.
And someone was in the bathroom because our cabin was kind of, it was kind of little. It fit our family, but it was kind of this little cabin. And someone was using the bathrooms. And then the lodge was about like 5 minutes away walking. So we sent you to the lodge to use the bathrooms there. They had really good bathrooms there. And then you saw the cleaning people came like the last morning. I didn't see them, but you did. Otherwise, we had the whole place to ourselves. So it was kind of cool. We drove down on a Friday. We stayed Saturday and we drove back Sunday. So it was just a quick weekend.
It was very Texan.
Yeah.
I feel like we kind of live in like the least Texan part of Texas.
I don't think you can say that because I think Texas has lots of different things that are Texan, you know?
That's true. Yeah. But like
least Dallas area, some people think of Dallas as like really Texan.
Well, but like
there are other places like El Paso and Dallas are not very much alike. Houston and Dallas aren't very much alike.
That's true.
Austin and Houston aren't that much alike. I don't know. So it's just,
but like,
I think different regions of Texas have their own thing going.
I feel like we don't live in a very like stereotypical part of Texas. Like we're just in the suburbs.
I don't know. Some people would say like Dallas is stereotypical because you've got like big skyscrapers. You've got, I don't know. You can find, you can find fields here that have longhorn cattle in them.
And Fort Worth is about an hour away. Okay.
That's true.
There is, whenever our neighborhood has like a block party, like those are pretty Texan.
Oh yeah. People have like chili competitions.
Yeah, lots of stuff. There's lots of Tex-Mex restaurants around. There's, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's some Texas stuff in Dallas. I think the fact that we live in the suburbs are maybe a little less Texan. Mm. I don't know.
Well, suburbs are like, suburbs are pretty much the same anywhere.
Suburbs are kind of the same wherever you go. I was going to say that, like, if you're in a suburb part of a big city in the country, there are differences, but then I think things are more the same than they are different in a lot of ways.
Like, you wouldn't go to Colorado and then be like, whoa, the suburbs are way different here.
That's true. Like,
but the scenery is different.
That's true. Guess, like, there aren't really any states that are, like, known for their suburbs. Like, it's either the rural or the, like, city areas.
Maybe it's because there's not that much interesting about suburbs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think sometimes, like New Jersey gets criticized for that. Because New Jersey is kind of this skinny state. Well, not that skinny, but it's, like, it runs north to south, right? Mm-hmm. And in the bottom, it's, like, the suburbs for Philadelphia. And, at the top, it's, like, the suburbs for New York. So I think everyone's picture of New Jersey is just, like, suburbs the whole state.
Yeah.
And that's why people knock on New Jersey a little bit. So it was really cool because we got to hang out in the lodge at night and play games. We went on a hike. One thing that I thought was super cool was because we're out in the middle of nowhere, when you look up, there are stars everywhere.
Yeah.
So many stars that you never see.
It was cool because, like, at first when we went out to look at stars, you're like, oh, there's, like, just about as many stars as there are here. And, like, as the night, like, went on, we saw more and more stars.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Just as soon as it gets dark, like, all these other stars come out that you're not used to seeing.
Yeah.
Like, I think most people know, like, the same basic constellations that are easy to find. The Big Dipper.
Yeah.
Orion. Maybe Cassiopeia. Just kind of the basic ones. But right now, like, the Big Dipper was the only one that was really prominent in the sky. Mm-hmm. So the Big Dipper was kind of up, easy to spot. But then what I noticed is when it got darker, like, all of these stars within the Big Dipper that you never see. Like, if we're looking at it here near Dallas, you can see the Big Dipper fine, but you don't see any other stars around it.
Yeah.
But suddenly it's like the Big Dipper plus a whole bunch of other stars. That was cool.
It was really cool.
Well, I thought it was cool because, like, you get to see, like, the entire constellation. So, like, the entire Canis Major or something like that.
Canis Major, I think it's called. It's, like, the Big Bear.
Yeah, like the big dipper is just like its thigh and its tail.
Yeah, I've never really been able to visualize what the bear is supposed to look like.
But it's just like, yeah, but
the big dipper is sort of obvious, but I don't know.
I'm pretty sure the Canis minor, aka the little, yeah, I'm pretty sure the little dipper and the bear is like it's just the little dipper.
Yeah,
and then the rest.
And
of
I think
it is the
little dipper isn't the little dipper like part of it is the North Star. I don't know.
Right.
The Big Dipper points to the North Star, like the end of the cup points to the North Star, but anyway, I'm sort of exhausting my knowledge of astronomy. The another thing that was kind of funny, well, I think it's funny now. At the time, it was maybe not funny, but we were driving down there, and we're getting to the ranch, and so you go down there, you're on, like, main roads most of the way, and then you hit, like, San Angelo, which is a pretty good-sized city, and at about San Angelo, you start to go off on these more country highways. And then, like, when we get close to the ranch, we turn off on this other road that's, like, definitely we were the only people on that road, and we're headed toward the ranch. And it's still really, like, a fast speed limit, like 70 miles an hour, but it kind of turns. It has lots of turns. And as we're headed toward the ranch, I'm like, what is all that smoke over there? It looks it looks like something's on fire, and the closer we get, it looks like the ranch is on fire. Like, I was really concerned we were going to get there and the whole thing would be in flames. And I'd be like, well, now what do we do?
I feel like...
Fortunately, it was not in flames.
It wasn't, but I was really worried. And I was thinking, you know what? If we get down to this camp and we set up camp and then we get, like, our vacation gets cut short because of a wildfire, that will be so on brand for 2020.
It was a wildfire.
This is totally the setup for, like, something that was about to go horribly wrong, though. Because we go to this ranch, like, out in the middle of nowhere, and there's it's, like, no completely abandoned.
Yeah.
And it's also some forest fire.
Yeah, we were even joking, like, this is how a horror movie begins. Like,
yeah.
The forest fire is, like, maybe a different type of movie. But
there was a wildfire. So there was a wildfire. It was kind of like, it was probably a good 20 miles away, but it looked like it was really close, especially that first day. It was like this big, big flume of smoke. Is that the right word? Flume? A big flume, a big column of smoke coming up.
Word.
I think flume is the right word. A big column of smoke coming up on the horizon, and it seemed like it was really close. And then when we drove off in that direction, you could see it wasn't actually as close as it seemed. I think because we were a little bit up on a hill, and it was kind of like on a hill further away. But there was this, and I think it was new that first day, like it had just started, this wildfire. And because that night we went into town to get some barbecue, and we saw, like, fire trucks headed out toward the fire. And that night, so we were only there two nights, but that first night I really didn't sleep well at all, because all night long I kept thinking, what if this wildfire, like, comes over here? And because we're the only people staying at this ranch, no one will know to come tell us that we need to evacuate.
Yeah.
Like, what if the wildfire just consumes the ranch and we all die?
Somehow I was more concerned about scorpions, because we actually ended up finding a scorpion in the bathroom sink.
Oh, yeah. I was going to mention that as well. So we go into the cabin the first night, and we're all getting ready for bed. And Elizabeth, who is with us, goes into the bathroom. She's like, guys, there's a scorpion in here.
Yeah.
And it was in the sink. It wasn't very big. It was maybe like an inch and a half long. But it still looked like a scorpion, which was kind of creepy.
I mean, any scorpion at all, like, no matter the size, it's still freaky.
Yeah. I think in my imagination, I always think of scorpions as being like at least 3 inches long.
Yeah. Sometimes I think of them like crabs.
Maybe more crab-like. Yeah.
Yeah. I think of them like the size of crabs or lobsters for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're just spider lobster.
So it was just down near like the sink drain in the bathroom. But it was surprisingly hard to kill.
Yeah. Yeah, we kind
of... Yeah, my bed was actually kind of like up right above the bathroom. Like,
oh, yeah, that's right. It was
like towards
this little
the
loft ahead, on top of where the bedroom, where the bathroom was.
Yeah, so I was just up there and thinking, huh, I wonder what's going on.
We kind of accidentally, like, tortured that scorpion.
We were just trying to get rid of it, but we couldn't figure out how to get rid of it, because no one wanted to just reach down there and grab it.
Yeah, and then eventually Elizabeth just put her hand in a shoe and then squashed it.
So she got a shoe and
banged it with a shoe. And, like, even when, like, one of the limbs was off of it, it was still kind of scurrying around. It was pretty gross.
Yeah.
It took a lot to kill it.
Finally, she killed it with the shoe, and we rinsed it down the drain. But I think that's what you guys were thinking about, like, all night was, what if there are more scorpions? What if the scorpion has friends? And what if those friends are going to, like, get revenge for the scorpion that we killed.
Yeah. Revenge the scorpion's
death. At first
death.
I was like, man, yes. I really shouldn't be scared of the bathroom because statistically, like, there's going to be less in there now. But that didn't help me sleep.
Well, apparently scorpions don't really, like, move in packs. But I was still creeped out.
Probably not. I mean, it's just like when you see a spider, it doesn't mean you're going to see more spiders necessarily. Yeah. And we didn't see any more scorpions. That was the only scorpion we saw. We didn't see a whole lot of animals there, really.
And yeah. We saw some dialong legs, which apparently aren't spiders.
I got to...
Some of them are. I think it depends. I think daddy long leg refers to a couple of different bugs, yeah. Some of which are insects and some of which are arachnids.
Something that was kind of weird about that trip is I basically slept in the kitchen, which felt weird. I mean, the entire thing is just like the cabin is one room.
Yeah, well, it's like a bathroom. But like sort of like a studio apartment with a bathroom off to the side and like a loft above the bathroom.
Yeah.
And then there was like a bed and there was a pull-out bed that Elizabeth was sleeping on. And then you had a cot that your
uncle
brought for you to sleep on.
Yeah, which is really nice. But I slept like under the stove, kind of.
Next to the stove.
Yeah,
really,
it was weird to think
stove,
about.
Like next to the stove.
Yeah.
Just sort of in the kitchen. But you can't really call it a kitchen because it's all just one room.
Mm. Kitchen area.
Yeah. Did we see any other animals? I mean, I saw a couple of rabbits. Oh, yeah, we saw deer because there was a little area where, like, they would feed deer.
There were some birds, I think.
We saw some deer. We saw a lot of birds. And then, like, on Saturday we went, there's a place called the Sonora, the Caverns of Sonora.
It sounds like a fantasy.
It sounds
area.
Like the title to a fantasy novel, right?
Yeah.
Went to the Caverns of Sonora.
Those are really cool.
And it was a really cool cave that had like a ton of really cool what do you call them? Cave formations.
Yeah.
Stalactites and stalagmites and cave bacon and
the tour guide like kept on referring to these like gigantic stalagmites that were like in our path as like actual people.
Yeah,
and so I thought there were animals in there.
Yeah,
and she'd say like,
"Oh yeah, like avoid
now,
Fred.
Up here we got,
don't touch Fred."
Up here we got Harold, and he will stab you if you're not careful. And I was watch like, "Wait, what?"
Harold. Yeah,
watch out for crazy Uncle Harold. Yeah,
so they were taking tours around. They had limited the size of the tours because of the pandemic. So they were only It was just we went in two separate groups because there were eight of us. So like. Elizabeth went with her uncle and aunt and cousin in one group. And then we were in a group with one other person who was just kind of with our group. But we were kind of spaced out. And it was a cool cave.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I thought was cool about that place is around the cave, there were some really cool birds. Like the gift shop.
Oh, yeah.
Where you bought the tickets.
Yeah, like
there were these, they were called, what were they called? Barn swallows.
Yeah.
These barn swallows that made little nests out of like mud. And they were pretty cool to watch them like flying around.
It was like all around the gift shop. Like,
yeah,
on
like
the outside.
Up on the porch, there were a whole bunch of these barn swallows. And then there were also hummingbirds.
Yeah.
It was like a hummingbird feeder.
Oh, there were also, I don't know why I'm forgetting the name of them right
peacocks?
Now. Peacocks. Yeah.
There were peacocks too.
Yeah.
There's
so
it was kind of cool.
There's a whole bunch of different peacocks. There's one like white peacock.
Yeah.
Like an albino peacock.
And there was one that had super long tail feathers.
Yeah, they kept on looking at us through the windows. There are two things that I liked the most about the cave. First of all, our tour guide, she could like turn on and off her flashlight and like the cave would like leave a trail.
Oh, that was really cool. I'd never knew that before. I've probably been to like three or four caves in my life that are similar, like limestone caves. But I never knew that caves are iridescent. Is that the word?
That's fluorescent.
The word. Fluorescent.
Fluorescent.
Yeah.
So she had like a UV light.
Yeah.
And she made little patterns on it, or if she just held it up to the stalactite and then turned off her light, it would glow for a little while.
Could draw in the cave.
It was really cool. I never knew that limestone does that.
I also liked the one part of the cave where she just turned off her flashlight and everything. And we were in, like, complete darkness.
Yeah. It seems like whenever you do a cave tour, they always do that.
Yeah.
Although, it wasn't complete darkness because I could see Mom's Fitbit. It was
really?
A little green light.
Oh.
But only a little bit.
I didn't notice. I wasn't close enough to Mom to see it. It seemed pretty dark to me.
I still don't really get how, like, absolute darkness can be a thing. I always thought it was, like...
no light.
No light coming in.
I always thought it was, like, absolute zero, where, like, there's never a true thing.
I don't know. I guess with Mom's Fitbit, it wasn't absolute... But it was pretty close. It was very dark. It was kind of cool. It was also interesting, too. Like, other caves I've been in are usually cooler. This one was actually kind of warm. Like it was 77 degrees or something like that, which is pretty warm. I don't know why it keeps so warm. I guess because you're
in Texas during the summer.
Yeah.
I had to keep taking out my face mask because I was getting like super heated.
Yeah. They didn't want us to wear our face masks inside there, although our tour guide wasn't super strict about it. And then we drove home. We stopped and got some Tex-Mex on the way home and ordered it and like ate it out on a courthouse lawn. That was kind of fun.
I don't think it was quite as good as the Tex-Mex we had after the cave, but it was still really good.
Yeah, we had Tex-Mex like 2 days in a row. We had barbecue and Tex-Mex, which was like the most Texas food you can have the whole time.
It was pretty good barbecue, but that Tex-Mex was awesome.
The Tex-Mex was really good.
This podcast
Sonora.
Brought to you by being Texan.
Yes, Tex-Mex is like...
Tex-Mex. This podcast brought to you by Tex-Mex and barbecue. And
I think Mexican food is like my favorite type of food.
Yeah.
Keep on being reminded of it.
Yeah, a couple other things I want to talk about. Yesterday, we did go to Oklahoma! So it's Saturday today. Yesterday, I had the day off because my company was observing Juneteenth, the day that that African Americans learned that they had been emancipated from slavery, which is a big holiday in Texas, but I don't know if it is in the rest part of the country. I think this year people are becoming much more aware of it, but my company made it a holiday for the company this year.
Oh, cool.
And we used it as an opportunity to drive up to Oklahoma! And visited a place called Turner Falls, which we had always kind of wanted to go to, but never been to before. It's about 2 hours away from where we live.
It's a really pretty like river with a bunch of like waterfalls.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's up in an area, I think... And again, this is sort of like what your image of a state is, but I always think of Oklahoma as being like flat and boring.
Yeah, sort of
like
Kansas.
Like Kansas, but it's not really. Like Oklahoma actually has a lot of really pretty parts of it. And this is in an area called the Arbuckle Mountains. And they're not like huge mountains like the Rocky Mountains, but they're kind of cool little mountains, little rugged mountains. And you turn off the highway and then you go up this road. And at the very bottom of it, there's this place called the Blue Hole. And it's where, like, so you've got a river coming down from the mountains, and it goes over the rocks, and it just kind of gathers in this one area where there are a whole bunch of swimming holes. The Blue Hole was kind of a swimming hole there, and the one thing that kind of freaked me out about it was, like, to get there, you had to, like, walk over these rocks, and the rocks had moss on them, and it was super,
super
slippery.
Slippery.
I kept being afraid one of us was going to, like, fall and crack their heads open.
I kept slipping into the water, too.
I slipped twice, but I never, like, actually felt like it,
I think Mom slipped once and fell on her butt, but she said she was fine. It didn't hurt her, luckily.
I really liked... There's this one area that had, like, this, like, tiny waterfall that you could, like... You could just barely fit yourself in, so you could just like
not
just sit like inside the waterfall. Yeah. And you know how like have you ever been to like a water park where there's like a whole bunch of water falling? It's like super relaxing to be like on the inside of there.
Yeah.
Was that over where you and your brother were? Like there was kind of a lower pool.
Because
I remember at one time we didn't go down there. You guys went on your own to like one of the lower swimming holes, and Mom and I were looking around. We're like, where did the boys go? I haven't seen them. They haven't seen them come back. And then I realized you were like kind of back where we couldn't see you.
But it was like stepping into another dimension.
Yeah, that's super cool.
We're skipping rocks too, which Henry's really good at.
Yeah. And there were people there, but we could kind of keep our distance from them a little bit. So that was nice. Yeah. Not everyone was socially distancing there.
Unfortunately.
But we didn't have to worry about it. We could kind of, we had floaties, so we were kind of, most of the time Mom and I were just kind of floating in this big swimming pool. Or not a swimming pool, but a swim hole. What do you call it? What did I call it a minute ago?
A
swimming hole. So just a natural pool, basically. And there were like little tiny fish in the water, but the water was really clean. It was being filtered from the river. And we're just kind of floating around. It was nice because the water, at first it seemed kind of cold to me, but it was a warm day. So you got used to it pretty quickly.
I'm glad the water was clean because I accidentally swallowed a tiny bit once and freaked out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Probably not a good idea to drink that water.
Well, not intentionally, but
speaking of things that were slightly less than ideal, I actually like on the way back from like the area that we were just talking about that was kind of recital, but like there was like a slope downwards like where I tried to get to you guys, but like it kept on going like up slightly, so it was kind of like jagged, and I ended up like the toenail on my big toe like ended up like splitting a little bit, and there Yeah, I got some moss in it.
You did end up with a little bit of a toe issue.
Yeah.
That was unfortunate.
Yeah.
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 But the scenery was really cool. There were kind of like cliffs and stuff and lots of trees. And then after that, we kind of, we left the swimming area. There were lots of different swimming areas. So as this river kind of comes down the mountain, there are different places you can swim in it. And then we drove up to the top and you could see down over into this little kind of canyon where the waterfalls were.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
I don't know.
It was a good time.
I did complain a little bit, but overall it was a lot of fun.
Well, there's always a little bit of that. But
yeah, but once I got over that, I was having a lot of fun.
Yeah. It was pretty fun. Couple other things that have happened. On the way to Turner Falls, we got to listen to the Drive With Us podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So our story was finally told on the Drive With Us podcast. We'd recorded it for them. It was a shorter version of the one that we gave on the podcast a few months ago about our trip to Italy.
It was a pretty good podcast overall.
Yeah. So Drive With Us podcast is a podcast that specializes in like crazy commuter stories. Mm-hmm. And we decided we'd tell them our story about Italy as our
Not exactly
commuter, but a traveling story.
Yeah.
And an interesting story.
Do you think any of their listeners are listening to this podcast right now?
I don't know.
Possibly.
Maybe. If you are, thanks. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank
Hello.
You.
Welcome. Hello.
Thanks to all the OG listeners,
yeah,
too.
There are some other really good stories on that podcast, too, so I recommend you listen to it. The Drive With Us podcast, there were some funny stories that other podcasters told in that episode. And then another funny thing that happened. I don't know why I'm thinking about this, but one of the things like we've been doing, Mom and I have been doing a lot during the pandemic. And we've been doing it before, but I think we're doing it even more now as like language study on our phones, like using Duolingo and stuff like that.
Yeah. Phoebe was talking to Mom and Mom was saying like,
that's
Phoebe
what I was about to say.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Sorry. But Phoebe was saying like, Mom, how many languages are you learning? She just said like only the essential ones like German and Japanese and Spanish and
Russian.
Portuguese and Russian.
And then Phoebe was like, Mom, why don't you just pick one? She was like, oh, I did pick one. And Phoebe's like, oh, yeah, what was it? Japanese and Spanish.
Like, yeah, and then she
was
like,
the one that she was focusing on was Japanese and Spanish.
Yeah, and then she said, like, the reason I keep on going back to the other ones is because, like, I would go back and think, like, wait, do I still know a bit of German?
Yeah.
I don't like having to learn one other language.
So I've been studying Japanese for a long, long time, like for 20 years or something like that.
Also, apparently she was considering studying Korean.
And I'm still studying Japanese because I still haven't learned it all because it's a crazy, complicated language.
Yeah.
But I did start learning Korean a little bit because, I don't know, I'm just a little bit interested in learning Korean. Sometimes Mom and I will watch Korean TV shows. And one thing I noticed when I'm listening to Korean is like some of the words are kind of similar, which is weird. I guess it's because both Korean and Japanese borrowed some stuff from Chinese. So maybe it's like their version of a Chinese word sounds similar.
So sort of like Latin languages.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, they're not very much alike, like overall. You can't learn.
Well, they still have a different alphabet.
It doesn't sound, only certain words sound alike. They have a different alphabet. And that's what I've started to learn is like the Korean alphabet is called Hangul, which is really interesting because it's a new alphabet. Did you guys know this?
Oh, really?
It's only been around for like 100 years or 80 years.
I didn't know that.
So I guess it's
like they made it up.
So I guess Japanese and Korean is more like Germanic languages and Latin languages.
Maybe sort of like that. But so Korean used to use Chinese characters like Japanese does. But at some point they decided that they were going to stop using Chinese characters and just invent their own language called Hangul or their own written language. Hmm. So it's kind of interesting because it's very logical. It's like someone sat down and decided, I'm going to create a written language. And each of the characters is made of like these circles and straight lines.
Yeah, you can tell it's different from normal like Japanese and Chinese characters because it uses circles.
Yeah, it looks totally different. And yeah. I don't know. I'm just kind of interested in that. Like it's a. I watched a YouTube video. This is why I'm an expert in Korean now.
Yep.
Because I watched a YouTube video and they, I learned that there are 10 vowels in Korean. That's a lot of vowels.
Mm-hmm. That's... So, like, Does Japanese have vowels? Or like...
Japanese sort of has vowels. So Japanese, they have...
They have
it's like... all syllables. So it's a, I, u, a, o. But then it's like kake, kuke, ko, sashi, sutse, sashi, sashi, su, se, so, tachi, tsu, te, to.
Oh, yeah, because so they have like...
It's just syllables. So it's all the same. It really, you don't have very many vowels. It's kind of like the same five vowels.
Because they have like a main alphabet and then just a whole bunch of characters, right?
Yeah. So in Japanese, you have like 47 syllables. I think that's right. 46, 47, somewhere in there that you use. Korean is sort of similar in that they have a lot of vowels, but very few consonants.
Mm-hmm.
In Japanese, I really don't know that much Korean yet, but I hope to learn more. The thing that's confusing about Japanese is because there are so few sounds, you have a lot of homonyms, a lot of words that either sound the same or sound very similar.
Oh, that must be hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway,
I guess we're kind of lucky, not just because we just happened to be born with English, but also because we had like the Roman alphabet.
Yeah. Cause English is,
yeah, kind of handy,
a really hard language to learn. So I'm kind of glad that I never had to learn it other than just as a kid learning how to speak.
But the thing is, like, if you're raised learning Japanese or Korean, then, like, if you're learning, like, learning English is already, like, really hard, but also, like, English also uses the Roman alphabet, so learning Spanish or French or
all these
other languages would also be hard.
I think it's, like, one of the hardest languages that uses that alphabet, but then once you learn it, it's probably a lot easier to learn Spanish or something. I don't know.
Or Portuguese.
It's the hardest language with the easiest alphabet, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've studied a little bit of Spanish in my life, and like Spanish always seems easy to me. Like
Spanish is pretty easy.
It's crazy that like I don't really speak Spanish, but when I hear it, I almost know what they're talking about most of the time. And
yeah,
there's still like a
lot of words sound similar. So
there are a few weird things. Like when I was learning Spanish in school, like there's like certain objects that I referred to using like male pronouns and certain ones with female pronouns. Like,
yeah, that's true. Nouns, a lot of the Latin languages and Germanic languages do that, like have gendered nouns.
But there's certain, and it was like, wait, what's like the pattern to this? And they're saying like, I don't know, just memorize it.
It is just random. Yeah, you just have to learn it.
Yeah.
Some things that you might think in your mind seem more masculine have a feminine. Mm. And some things you think should be feminine have more. So there's no real pattern there. It's just what it is.
Yeah, that drove me crazy.
And then the one other thing I want to talk about and give a shout out to. So last podcast, we talked about how we talked about on the news that someone named The Real Free, a rapper, had written a book, and his book was set a world record for the longest alliteration ever. And we listened to a little bit of his song, one of his songs called, what's the song called?
Finally Free.
Finally Free. Yes. Thank you.
I wasn't there, but.
And
it's pretty good.
He gave us a shout out on Facebook, which I thought was cool.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote on his Facebook page, "Talk to Dad. Thank you for covering the story on your podcast, episode 204. It was a pleasure tuning in. I'm an instant fan. DM me so I can send you an autographed copy of the book on me." Mm-hmm. So very cool for The Real Free to do that for us. And I commented back and I said, "The Real Free, that's awesome. We all loved..." And I wanted to say Finally Free. It was late at night. I was commenting and autocorrect got the best of me. I wrote Finally Fruit because it's written like The Real Free and Finally Free is F-R-I-I. And my phone didn't recognize that as an actual word. So it changed it to fruit. Thought I was trying to say fruit.
Mm.
And then so
and you sent
bad autocorrect. I didn't notice it until the next day. But I did message him. He seems like a super cool guy, and I do like that song.
Yeah.
So if you check him out on SoundCloud, the song Finally Free by The Real Free.
Yeah, like, I feel like Christian, like, I don't know, I guess like Christian pop or Christian rock or something.
Yeah, he's
like
a Christian rapper. We didn't mention that just now, but yes.
That kind of stuff, I guess, kind of has a bad rap. I didn't really like that kind of stuff until now. Like, that's
he's really good. He's a good rapper.
He's like,
it's got good flow.
It's the point where, like, I kept on expecting, like, him to say something really inappropriate, since, like, rap is kind of known for being really inappropriate, but I was like, this is just, like, some wholesome
Christian
music.
Very positive message. Very, and he seems like a positive guy.
That's great.
Let's do some news.
Now, your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
I feel like I've been talking too much this episode. Does anyone want to start with their story?
I will. Or Actually, no. I feel like we should save this one for last. This one's kind of...
All right.
Like,
mine is also, go, William, and then I'll go, and then Henry can go.
Mine's also pretty epic. Grand Theft Auto. Finger flexes keep 90-year-old gamer console ready.
Oh, boy. This sounds like a fake article.
I don't know whether this is, like, soul-crushing or legendary.
I think it's pretty epic.
Okay, every day, 90-year-old Japanese grandma Hamako? I asked you how to pronounce her.
Hamako
Mori flexes her fingers to keep them nimble, not for knitting or needlepoint, but to keep them in shape for playing video games.
She's a pretty hardcore gamer, this 90-year-old grandma.
Mm-hmm. Is that why there's, like, a stereotype for grandmas, like, knitting?
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of a grandma thing to do, right?
The pensioner, known as Gamer Grandma, spends 3 or more hours a day battling monsters and going on missions on the virtual worlds of her favorite games. And even has a popular YouTube channel for her fans. I think there is,
I've heard about this, actually.
There is, like, one, like, old, like, grandpa who's, like, known for Twitch streaming.
I think that's I've heard about the person in this article, though.
Oh, yeah?
Maybe.
Gamer Grandma?
I feel like I've, like... heard about them or something.
I'm passionate about playing video games every day, the white-haired widow told AFP in an interview conducted by video chat. Every day is an enjoyable day, she said, describing on-screen foes as a fantastic stress reliever. Mori cuts an elegant, mild-mannered figure with her hair pulled back into a ponytail and a pair of large glasses perched on her nose. That's kind of cool because, like, I don't know, gamers are kind of known as, like, being, like, very heated, like, furious, sometimes kind of problematic people online. But this person's just, like, a really chill grandma just playing video games.
Yeah, there's a picture of her in the article, and she looks like just what you would think of as, like, a 90-year-old Japanese grandma. Like, she looks very sweet, but apparently she's hardcore into gaming.
She begins a video she posts on her YouTube channel with a friendly konnichiwa and a bow. That's nice. But her grandmother, Demir, disappears when she plays transformed into a gun-toting character in the Call of Duty or sword-wielding android in Nier Automata? I haven't heard of that game.
I don't know that game.
Automata?
I think it's funny that she likes, like, Call of Duty. Like,
yeah.
She likes the hardcore, like, shooting games and stuff.
Yeah. She always gets into her games, says her only grandchild. I think she is slightly different. Ordinary old people are not so enthusiastic about video games as she is.
That is true.
Kind of obvious.
Yeah. Mori isn't new to the gaming world and has played some 200 titles since she took up the hobby some 4 decades ago.
Oh,
she
boy.
Was still, she's, like, been gaming for 40 years.
She was still, like, around 50 when she started gaming.
Yeah.
Like, maybe, like,
only
late
40s.
Older
than me, really.
Yeah, Dad, you could start gaming right
now.
I
could start becoming an epic gamer.
You'd become a true gamer. Yeah.
I don't know why I recommended
that. Get myself a Sony PlayStation 5 when it comes out and just go hardcore.
Yeah, she has 300,000 subscribers on YouTube. Her first console was a cassette Vision, which she bought in 1981 after being intrigued by her children's obsession with gaming. Okay, so she started then because, like, before then, like, gaming wasn't really a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I discovered that there was this fascinating thing that existed in the world, she said. She has played most of the gaming world's smash hits, including Super Mario Brothers, Dragon Quest, Final Fantasy, and Call of Duty. And admits to sometimes staying up until 2 a.m. when she is sucked into a session.
It's just really funny thinking about like a 90-year-old Japanese grandma who's, like, super sweet, staying up until 2 a.m. playing Call of Duty.
Just her picking favorite, people off.
She's, like, a great grandma. Her favorite games include action-adventure series Grand Theft Auto, yikes, and popular fantasy role-playing game Elder Scrolls V Skyrim.
I haven't
played Skyrim, but that game has the best meme.
It's funny that, like, Grand Theft Auto and Skyrim are, like, her favorite
games. Yeah. You can do whatever you want to in a game, she said, describing them as a motivation in life, which is, like, the opposite of how video games affect some people, so good for her. Mori usually plays alone at home, but launched a YouTube channel in 2014 to connect with other gamers. Every time it uses the word gamer, I don't know. She posts new videos filmed by her grandson 3 or 4 times a month and has attracted 300,000 subscribers and millions of views. It's fun being watched by a lot of people rather than playing alone, she said of her gamer grandma channel.
I kind of want to check it out a little bit.
Yeah.
I think I will too. At 90, Mori is fighting fit, but she says some state-of-the-art games require agile hand motions that can prove challenging. It's getting hard. It really is, she said, describing exercises she does with her fingers and hands every day to keep herself game ready. Better than doing nothing.
That's kind of cool. I mean, if you're 90 years old and you have a hobby, that's a good thing. But she has to do little exercises with her fingers.
Yeah.
So she can stay at top gaming shape. That's pretty cool. I like that story.
Yeah.
I've got a story from the world of science! This is a study, a really interesting study that was done about how people don't see as much color as they think they do. And in fact, sort of the bigger theme is you just don't see as much as you think you do. Like when you're walking around in life, you think that you see everything around you, right? Because your eyes are open, you're looking around, you're noticing things. But the truth is, there's a lot of stuff you just don't notice. There's something called inattentional blindness. So you're blind to things that you don't pay attention to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But this study was done by some Dartmouth scientists. And what they did is they put a virtual reality headset on people. And they showed them a video. And they said, pay attention to the video. There were lots of things going on in the video. And tell us what you notice at the end of the video. And what they did is, so at the middle of the field of vision, they left it color. But at some point during the video, like, everything else became black and white.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
and
really
most
cool.
Most people did not notice it at all.
Oh, this is there's, like...
In fact, when it happened, and they told people that was what was happening, they were like, no, I don't believe you. I don't think that happened. I would have noticed that.
It's like this one video where like...
Yeah,
where it's like... you have to like... At the beginning of the video, it says like, see like how many... I think it's
how
like
many
green...
Passes.
How yeah. many passes this...
They talk about that in this article.
Yeah, and then like at the end it says, but did you see the gorilla?
There's a gorilla that like walks.
They talk about that in the article. That was another unattentive blindness study that was done in 1999. That's one of the most famous ones.
Yeah.
So it's like there's two basketball teams playing, and you have to count how many times the white players pass the ball.
But
and
in
if
the
you
middle,
focus in on that, in the middle of it, a gorilla comes in and beats his chest.
Yeah.
And people watch the video and they never notice the gorilla.
It drives you crazy when you rewatch
it's
it.
Hilarious.
And even like
what the heck?
When they did that study, even when they told them that something crazy is going to happen, people still don't notice it because they're still trying to watch what they're supposed to
watch.
Yeah.
It's like, what the heck? There's a freaking gorilla right in the middle of the screen.
So this is a similar study that was done along that same study. That study actually won what they call an Ig Nobel Award for weird science that kind of makes you think, but it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
It shows that we're not as smart as we think we are.
Yeah. So they say in this study, fascinatingly, most people did not notice that much of the scene they were looking at had turned to black and white. When the researchers divulged the change after the experiment was over, the volunteers were shocked. Some people laughed. Some people were kind of in denial. It's really common to get phrases like, wait, no way. Michael Cohen, a professor of neuroscience and psychology at Amherst College, told Gizmodo. A lot of people were really taken aback. It's a fun experiment to run because there's a lot of smiling and a lot of laughing once you do the reveal. The research team tested out four different versions of the trial, each with increasingly shrinking areas of color. In the most extreme trial, participants only saw a tiny circle of color, and yet 30% of them did not notice the desaturation at all. In the trial with the largest area left in color, a whopping 83% were oblivious to the black and white periphery. So all of the periphery is going black and white, and people watch it, and they just do not notice it.
It's like, do they just show them like solid colors or like...
Oh, so it's like a video. You're like watching a video, like a movie is playing. And then like in the middle of your field of vision, it stays in color, but everything around it turns black and white.
Oh, that's so
there's
weird.
Actually this
and they
weird...
just don't notice it. You can actually watch it on YouTube. You can pull up the actual videos they used and see what it looks like.
That sort of reminds me of this thing where this is really weird, but sometimes like if you stare at something long enough, you won't realize the change. Like sometimes security guards will like keep on staring at a camera for way too long. They won't even notice that like there's a robber there.
That's something I thought about is like you can have your five senses, but without like thinking and like registering and like focus and stuff like that, like those five senses are nothing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. They said in this, they even did something in this study where they said, They told people to press a button every time they saw the periphery switch to black and white. So they told them it was going to happen. And some people still didn't notice the change, like never pressed the button.
Man.
They say that these experiments are actually kind of important because they could use them for really important practical applications like, you know, distracted driving. Like people who are talking on their phone, when you're talking on your phone while you're driving, you're much less likely to notice things like in your periphery, like cars and pedestrians and like dangerous things. I think the principle here is like, there's only so much your brain can take in at a time. And so it chooses what it wants to see. And if your brain doesn't think it's important, it just doesn't bother to notice it.
Yeah.
It's like in those like spot the difference games or like the ones that are like super blended in, like, are hard to notice the ones that are like right in the middle of the center.
You know what that always reminds me of? When that episode of The Office when Creed is made like the manager.
Oh yeah.
And Pam comes in and they decide that they have to do something to distract him so he won't ruin the office. And so Pam brings him two identical pictures and says, "Corporate really needs you to spot the differences between these pictures." And then she says, "It's the same picture."
Yeah.
That always makes me think of that. So yeah, really interesting study, and there's lots of different other things they can do with it. Another scientist who was not part of this study says there's actually a lot of research showing that people fail to notice things in their peripheral vision. Everyday experience is full of cases where people don't notice things that were in plain sight, but were in their visual periphery. The other place that this is used, this type of research is used a lot, is in courtrooms. So a lot of times people feel like, well, if there's an eyewitness, that's like the best kind of evidence
really
you
not.
Can have. But mm-hmm. eyewitness testimony has been proven in study after study to be really unreliable because mm-hmm. people focus it on what they want to focus it on. And they may not notice a lot of things that are going on.
Yeah.
Even though they witnessed it with their own eyes, it doesn't necessarily mean they saw what happened or reliably can recount what happened. So
yeah, it's like,
it's pretty interesting.
I've noticed like when I was in middle school, I think in like sixth grade, I was thinking about how like people could be like saying my name like right in front of me and I could still like space out for a few seconds.
Yeah. Henry, you want to give your story?
Sure.
Henry was spacing out for a few seconds.
Yeah. This is actually kind of a really cool headline. There may be more than 36 intelligent alien civilizations in the Milky Way, scientists say.
Whoa.
Yep.
Holy cow.
Humans have long suspected that we are not alone in the universe, and now scientists have said there may be dozens of alien civilizations lurking not too far from Earth. Some of them may even be advanced enough to communicate with us.
Wait, so like in the Milky Way?
The galaxy is a big
place.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
there's like
still
millions, maybe billions of stars? I don't know how many exactly, but like
millions still, at least. I think millions is a pretty safe bet.
That's actually kind of discouraging.
Well, there's at least 36.
Hmm.
So, intelligent life is out there. It just may not be very close by.
Yeah. It says, humans have long suspected that we are not alone in the universe, and now scientists have said there may be dozens of aliens of... Oh, I just read that. according to a new study in the Astrophysical Journal, scientists at the University of Nottingham estimate that there's a minimum of 36 communicating intelligent alien civilizations in the Milky Way galaxy. But also there's like other stuff.
But the truth is, though, there may be aliens, but they're just so far away that there's no practical way for them to communicate with you.
Yeah.
Or maybe the way that they communicate is like so alien to us that we don't notice.
Or there's just no way to travel between, you know, star systems within a galaxy so that...
Yeah.
Anyways, back to the article. They say the estimate is actually conservative. It's based on the assumption that intelligent life forms on other planets in a similar way to how intelligent life forms... Intelligent life forms on other planets in a similar way to how it does on Earth, using what they call the astrobiological Copernican limit. The researchers assume that Earth is not special. If an Earth-like planet forms in an Earth-like orbit around a sun-like star, hosting a civilization that develops technologically similar in a similar way to humans, there'd be approximately 36 Earth-like civilizations in our galaxy. So I guess they found, like, some plants that are, like, almost exactly like ours, and then, like, thought, oh, there's probably like aliens there, maybe.
Yeah, it seems like that's something that I hear about in astronomy news a lot lately, is they're looking for Earth-like planets.
So yeah. Wait,
that could have similar circumstances to our own.
So wait, do they find 36 or is there like an estimate of 36?
That's, I think, an estimate. Basically just doing like a statistical analysis and saying, with all of the star systems out there in our galaxy, and how likely is it that they have the exact same conditions as ours that could,
well, how do
where
we,
intelligent yeah. life could develop?
But
how do we, that's so little, like in the entire galaxy?
Well, they said it's conservative guess. It but yeah, is. That is pretty little.
Previous calculations of alien life have been based on the Drake equation, which includes seven factors needed to find the number of intelligent civilizations, written by astronomer and astrophysicist Frank Drake in 1961. The estimates have been extremely broad, ranging from zero to a few billion civilizations.
Mm.
The team of researchers in Nottingham refined the equation using new data and assumptions. They found that there are likely between 4 and 211 civilizations capable of communicating with themselves, with 36 the most likely number. So it could be actually 211 or 4, but it's probably 36.
Even 211 is pretty discouraging.
Yeah.
Maybe it's actually
it's still
like
an amount, and that's good.
We don't know. We won't know until we do know.
Maybe there are alien civilizations out there, just none of them become like advanced enough to learn communication technology,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of scary for us, because like if you think about how quickly we could like reach alien technology, but like we'll probably never reach that before we just get like completely wiped out. Like
it seems like most scientists that talk about this sort of thing, they're sort of split between, you know, what would happen if they actually did contact us, and some of them are strongly in the camp that says if they did, it would probably be bad for us, because if they had enough technology to get it, to make it here,
then they're probably looking for another planet.
They probably wouldn't think we're very significant, and they would probably just wipe us out.
That too.
Yeah. They probably think that we're like, I'm trying to think if we discovered aliens, we would think that they're like significant living creatures, but it probably would be hard for us as a civilization to realize that they're
technology peasants.
It's also kind of freaky because like, you play that like religiously, and it's like, do they get like their own this and like their own that?
Yeah.
Do they go to their own heaven?
Or
like, that's something a lot of people think about, like in sci-fi, is like, what does that mean for religion? But who knows?
It's weird to think about.
Yeah.
I like to think of like God being the God for the whole universe. So
yeah.
It says the team of research. Wait, I already said that. Finding these civilizations is another issue entirely. Scientists said they would be thousands of light years away. Our current technology makes it nearly impossible to detect or communicate with possible alien life. Scientists said that searching for extraterrestrial intelligent life could give us insight into how long our civilization can survive. The more civilizations we find close to home, the better the chances for humans' long-term survival.
All right, Mom has joined us. We're going to do a segment we have not done in a very long time, Family Archives.
Family Archives?
What secrets does this ancient repository of power and knowledge hold?
Henry sounds squeaky in that.
I do.
It was recorded
really
a long
squeaky.
Time ago. I gotta say, this Family Archives, I'm having a little bit of, what's the word I'm looking for?
Trepidation.
I'm having a little bit of trepidation.
That means.
I have a little bit of anxiety about whether this is actually a good idea, or whether I'm going to traumatize myself and my children.
And it's a really good idea.
I'm so scared.
Hold on to that thought, and I will ask you afterward whether you think it was actually a really good idea.
We could not be more traumatized.
This family archive goes back all the way before our family existed. This family archive goes back to before your mom and I even knew each other.
Oh, no.
This family archive goes back to when I was about your age, William.
Oh no.
I think I've probably mentioned it on the podcast before. I was never actually in a band, but there was a band that I was sort of a part of in high school.
I forgot about that.
The band was called
The Deviants, and it was a band that I was in with a friend of mine named Adam and a friend of mine named Dave, and Adam played the guitar. Dave played the drums. I didn't play anything because I'm not very musical. I look at you boys and your sisters, and you guys are so musical, and you're learning to play music.
I might be starting a
band. You're starting to learn to play guitar and piano.
Yeah,
and,
to be
and
real
you have a lot of musical talent. I have no musical talent. And at the time, I had no musical talent. That's going to become really obvious here in a second. I got a message from my friend Adam a few days ago. He messaged me on Facebook and said, "Hey, what's your email address?" And, and initially, I was a little. I actually have to admit, I was a little worried it might be like someone just fishing for my personal information. But then we chatted a little bit on Facebook and I realized, no, this is actually Adam, because he knew people that I knew. And we had a little chat about people from high school. And
oh, this is now.
He said,
okay.
Yeah.
What's your email address? Because I've got a surprise for you.
Oh, boy.
He digitized all of our music from the Deviants.
No way.
Sent it to me.
Oh, no.
So that now I can play it for the first time.
They're remastered?
So the Deviants was just like something that happened.
Wait, what did you do?
Adam and Dave and I were just at Adam's house one time, and we were messing around, and Adam was playing the guitar, and Dave was playing drums, and I like hurried and wrote a bunch of songs like on a legal pad. And I wrote them out, and then we performed a few of them. And then later... there's a line from a song by Ben Folds Five that I always think of that says the band reformed without me and they got a different name. Like, it's kind of what happened. I sort of got kicked out of the band because I think basically if you look back on it, and if I'm being honest with myself, Dave and Adam thought the band was kind of fun. I thought the band kind of sucked. And because of that, I wasn't very enthusiastic about it. So, pretty much they started like having band practice without inviting me.
So wait.
And other people were invited to join the band that were not
me.
So
did you just like write the songs? Is that it?
So I wrote some songs. We recorded some songs together. And then like later, I think I left my notebook with some of my song lyrics at Adam's house. And they just like wrote some of the songs without me, like using the lyrics that I had written.
Did they credit you on the
of course notes? They credited me, okay. but I was not really part of the band anymore. And that's okay, because I was not the best part of the band. I wrote some songs and lyrics.
So you sang?
I did sing on some of the songs, but the later All songs right. that were recorded, I was not singing on because I was no longer present. But I had written some of the songs. To. Adam wrote some of the songs. I think Dave wrote a couple of the songs. But now I have actual digital versions of the songs that I can play for you.
Are we going to hear that classic Heartless Wench?
Have you heard these songs before?
I've heard some of them.
I don't know. I couldn't remember if Mom had ever heard some of these songs.
There was a cassette tape that you owned many years ago that I heard.
The same as the cassette tape, but I lost track of the cassette tape and I didn't have a digital copy, but Adam apparently digitized all of these.
I only learned that you're in a band like a few months ago.
I learned it like a couple years ago.
We'd never heard any of you guys' voices from
But now you're going to hear it for the first time on Family Archives.
Oh, boy.
Talk to Dad, episode 205.
Now I have something so that I can make fun of you.
Now you have something to talk to your therapist about.
What do you mean now? What do you mean now you have something? We can always make fun of our parents.
You don't have a therapist yet, Henry.
True.
Yet.
All right.
You can get one after this.
Yeah.
I
have some recommendations.
Yeah. I kind of want to know who named the band.
I actually named the band.
Oh.
And it came from a quote from a person from another band that I like, Robin Hitchcock and the Egyptians.
Of course it did.
It was
of
from
course.
Their liner notes.
I mean, the Deviants is a pretty good name.
No.
It's not.
It's not.
Is it?
No. What?
I thought it was a pretty good name.
It's exactly the kind of name that a 16-year-old would
All right. come I've up got, with. But, I've got like three different good. Songs we can listen to.
Oh, well, maybe I am a 16-year-old. So. Yeah.
I think That's this funny. Was the first song that we ever recorded. It is called Heartless Wench.
Oh, no.
And it sounds a little something like this.
Let's just appreciate, guys. Wait.
Unfortunately, yes, that is me singing.
With the British accent?
It's better that you can't hear it.
But I'll be set free. And you push me in the water. I'll come out completely drenched. And you will give me love to see the heartless wench.
Did you like not sing? You had just
I just kind of screamed, kind of shouted.
It's like a punk band.
Sounds so different.
Yeah.
All right, that is
okay. That's enough.
The classic heartless wench. One of the problems here. Part of it is because I was screaming. Part of it is because we were recording this on a boombox, or a tape recorder. I can't remember. It was something like we just push play, and we didn't really have microphones or anything. We were just kind of like making a lot of noise in a room and recording it to a cassette tape.
Wait, did you ever like actually sing?
Was I mean,
just, like, shouting?
Here's another one that's a little more singing. This is a
it's
song
not
called
Screamo, it's punk.
Paranoid. Wow. The song is called Paranoid.
Oh boy.
The sound quality is really bad.
Just pretend in the white noise is part of it.
Vocals are really what they call low in the mix.
I mean, the drums and guitar are pretty good.
Yeah, they sound better than I would have expected.
This isn't as bad as I expected.
Not nearly as bad. No.
This one's actually not bad.
It's as bad.
I like
as
this
should,
one.
Should
this is
expect.
Kind of a bop.
I
mean, I cannot hear you singing.
This actually is me singing.
Okay,
okay,
you sound like Will. You sound like Will.
Oh, no. No, that can't be. I would not sing like that.
Listen. Well, I mean, he's not singing like tunefully. He's just singing like kind of talk singing. But his voice sounds like yours to me.
It sounds like.
So that's the song Paranoid.
It sounds like a cover of a song by Fly of the Conchords.
I think those might be the only two songs I actually sing on.
I like the guitar riff.
Here's a song that I wrote that I think was actually recorded after I was essentially kicked out of the band.
All right.
But I wrote it, and
you kicked yourself out.
Adam and Dave and possibly Jared and Eric, who were like later members of the band, recorded it. I'm not sure who recorded it. Maybe I was there when I don't think I was there when they recorded it, but they found the lyrics and recorded it on their own. I kind of somewhat like this song.
What is this one called?
It's called Shirt Sleeves.
Oh yeah, I remember this.
The guitarist is pretty good actually.
A little bit of a slower song.
I feel like the guitar should have stood like a little bit farther from whatever was recording it, and the singer
probably
maybe, like,
I mean if
closer.
We had actually like engineered it and had microphones and stuff, that would have helped tremendously, I bet.
Yeah.
Oh,
there's one other song I have here that I think I wrote. Again, I just wrote the lyrics and then they recorded it without me, but I kind of like this song a little bit too.
This one called?
This one's called Timothy Wilson. It's kind of a song, like a story song. There's a little bit of a story to it.
Well, yeah, because it's someone's name, so.
You really can't hear it that well.
Who is singing?
Yeah.
It's Dave.
Is that Dave?
That one could actually be decent if it had, like, if it was actually mixed.
Mm-hmm.
And like use microphones.
a story about, like, it is the gist of the song is, like, there's this little kid named Timothy Wilson, and he doesn't really do anything, but he bothers people because he's just, like, he never says anything, and no one knows what he's thinking. And no one knows what, I don't know.
I like it.
But he's fine. He's off in his own little world, and he doesn't care.
These are very 80s. This is, like, mid-80s, right?
Mm.
This would have been, like, 1988 or 89.
Yeah.
Right about when I was your age.
But the sound is more...
There's, like, an exponential increase in quality.
Well, you're
so
born in... No, you're born in 1971, right?
Yep.
So, like...
Would have been, like...
Maybe 90... It might have been 87. Mm-hmm. I think I was just about 16 years old when we recorded this.
It's definitely the 80s.
You can tell. But this... The sound's not very much like... The sound's...
It's just sort of a classic garage rock sound.
Yeah, and like listening to it, I can tell, like, you probably listen to a lot of Velvet Underground.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the Smiths and stuff
like Smiths
that.
The Smiths.
The guitarist is pretty good.
Yeah.
So that is Family Archives. There's only one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
Three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself. Treat yourself.
For treat yourself today, I've got some potato chips that Mom and I picked up at the Chinese grocery store because they looked kind of weird. They have pictures of dogs on them. They're kind of like in a Pringles can, like a little tube, but they have pictures of dogs on them. When I saw them on the shelf, I thought they looked like dog treats.
And I like was like, wait, you're sure these aren't dog treats when you brought them home?
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't actually there when you got
and
them.
And Allison was like... No, they're potato chips. And then I brought them home, and Henry was like, are you sure those are for people and not dogs?
Yeah.
But here they are. We've got, they're called Just Free Potato Chips. They have a lot of Chinese writing on them that I don't know what it says exactly, but they are just free.
I'm guessing you actually had to pay for them, though.
We did have to pay for them. They are in three flavors. They are in tomato flavor and yellow mustard flavor. And what is this third one? This one is spicy sauce flavor. So there's
I'm not ready for this.
Tomato flavor, yellow mustard flavor, and spicy sauce flavor. Which one do we want to try first?
Not the spicy sauce. Probably the tomato.
Spicy sauce might be like sriracha sauce, maybe?
Let's do the tomato first.
I don't like spicy things.
Okay, let's do tomato. And then yellow mustard.
I'm still scared these are for dogs.
They might be. They've got cute little dogs on them. It looks like one of them is, I don't know, this is just like a hound dog. I don't know what he is.
There's also a Frenchie.
Just a good dog dog. Just a good mutt-looking dog.
That one's the Frenchie one.
The Frenchie one. And then there is a, I don't know, this looks like maybe a little bit of a pit bull.
This isn't like a dog treat brand, is it?
No.
Okay.
No. It's some kind of Chinese... snack food. Let's try the tomato flavor first.
I wonder if it'll taste like ketchup chips.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Like Canadian ketchup chips.
I don't know if I'm going to like any of these. The mustard's probably going to be good. But
they look pretty much like Pringles.
Did you try the ketchup chips, Henry, before?
I feel like I have.
You got to meet the mics.
Or ketchup fries. Don't we have ketchup fries?
What do you think of the tomato flavored Just Free potato chips?
They're pretty good, and they do taste like ketchup.
They do. They taste like tomato ketchup.
They kind of taste weird at first, but once you get used to them, they're decent.
I kind of like them. The texture is pretty much like a Pringle.
Yeah. I don't think they taste as much like ketchup as they just taste like a can of tomatoes.
Like stewed tomatoes. Canned tomatoes.
I like them.
It tastes like dipping a fry in ketchup.
I might give them like a high okay.
They're a little sweet.
I think they're good.
I would say...
I'll say they're delicious. I would eat them.
Yeah, actually, a low delicious.
I think they're delicious.
Yeah.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
All right, let's try the yellow mustard. Is that what they're called? Yeah, yellow mustard flavor. Okay, the yellow mustard that they're talking about here is the little mustard that comes with Chinese food that you can mix with the sweet
like
and sour
mustard.
Sauce.
I think it tastes it's like hot wasabi.
Mustard.
It's like
it's actually
hot,
pretty
hot
good.
Chinese mustard.
I don't think I'll have that many of them, but...
It tastes more like wasabi to me.
Well, it's that horseradishy mustard, but it's the yellow mustard that you get at Chinese restaurants.
There could be a bit more
exactly like wasabi, but it's pretty close.
I'll get that delicious.
There could be a bit more flavor, but I think it's still a low delicious.
I like it.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
Both of those I like a lot.
I like it too.
I was expecting more of just like a normal yellow, like ketchup and mustard flavor on the ketchup on the tomato and the mustard flavors, but they're not. They're good.
Yeah, it's like a horseradishy mustard.
They do taste exactly like the kind of little packets of.
You know the one I'm talking about?
Like, yeah, little packets of Chinese mustard that they give you, like with
Chinese takeout.
With Chinese takeout, yeah.
Yeah, and then the last one is spicy sauce flavor. So.
Here's some of
these around and see what we think of these.
Spicy sauce.
These are really good. That was unexpected.
They taste like curry.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I was trying to identify the flavor, but it's like a curry flavor.
Yeah, they're not even like and that takes spicy. Me back to, well, they do kind of burn your throat like a lot, but and that they're takes, not like spicy.
It takes me back to when you visited Japan.
Mm-hmm. It's like a spicy Japanese curry.
Yes.
I'll give that delicious.
They taste exactly like
yum 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 yum. Delicioso.
The little tin of Asian curry that I got when I was obsessed with soup curry.
That's a delicious. I might be kind of biased because
are we like a perfect delicious 3 out of 3?
Yes, but those but the spicy sauce one is my favorite. That is so good.
I think the other ones are like just barely delicious.
I like all of them.
Yeah.
I like all three of them.
Mm-hmm. All three of them are pretty good.
But wait, the spicy curry is pretty I think darn good.
That's I guess it gets 12 deliciouses since there's 4 of us and there's 3 of them.
Could mm-hmm. be 12 out of 12.
Yes.
I would recommend.
I could be biased just because it reminds me of visiting Japan and that was really fun.
But that's a really good flavor.
Yeah.
That's very good. On a potato chip especially, it's like just perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is Treat Yourself and that is our podcast. Thanks, boys, for being on the podcast today. Thank you, Allison, for joining the podcast. If you're listening if you're listening for the first time, thank you so much. We thank everyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can tweet us at TTD Podcast on Twitter. You can find us at Talk to Dad Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. You can email us at talktodadpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to help us out, there's 2 things you can do. 1, you can tell a friend, and 2, you can leave us a 5-star review. If you subscribe, rate, and review us, it helps us get the word out so that other people can find the podcast as well. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later. There's time for-